Thank you. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Thanks for the M&M peanut variety from Melissa. The great Melissa Morgan, who's leaving and going and taking her boyfriend's Subway someplace where he's working. She's getting him dinner. Well, that was last night. Well, anyway, thanks for the peanut M&Ms. I said, well, go get me a candy bar if you wouldn't mind. And downstairs we have a machine. It says D1 through D10. D1 through D10. The problem is, if you hit D10, you have to hit 1 and 0. And if you hit D1, you get M&M peanuts. How do you get D10? You got to hit a 1 and a 0 to get the damn 10, and what happens is you get a 1. So that's what I got. I got two things of M&M peanuts. I don't know what it is about me getting headaches with chocolate. What'd you get, Mike? You went 1 and 9, and you got no... You went 1, 9, and 0, and you got number 10? Oh, it went 1, 9, and a 0. That's right. There is no 10. It's 1, 9, and then 0. So if you hit D... You know what I'm talking about! So I couldn't get no Snickers. I got me the M&Ms instead. You been to Vegas with that M&M's thing in Vegas? Oh, my God, you haven't seen that?
No.
They got a whole M&M thing in Vegas.
Like a store?
It's a store. Vegas, as we all know, those of us who go to Vegas, and maybe Atlantic City's the same way, I don't know, but it's getting familied up real fast, okay? All kinds of family crap, which is great. And, you know, one of these days I'll take the kids up there. I don't know. I'll go to that place, what's the one that's got the wave machine? The Four Seasons got a hotel in Vegas with a wave machine on the roof of the hotel or something. It's like, it's unbelievable. And the kids go up there and, you know, swim and crap. But anyway, I'm walking down the street. It's near the Four Corners, and it's down near New York, New York, and the Bellagio. Walking up the street one fine day, going up to Bally's, going to go see George, the great George Carlin there at Bally's, and Maria says, what? Carlin's great, man. Yeah, I saw him live. Did you see him at Bally's? Did I tell you what happened? I shouldn't drop names, but I will drop this one little name. Because I had called him and I said, because George Carlin's a very sweet and gracious and terrific guy and funny as hell and was very complimentary about our show one night. So I took a big chance. I made a big, big, you know, I called the hotel, Mike, and I said, could I, you know, because we were bored to tears. And really, how can you get bored in Vegas? I don't know, but it happened. My wife was upstairs sleeping and I was, running out of money on the video poker. So I called a hotel. I said, could I have George Carlin's room, please? I don't know if, you know. Well, I got an answering machine or something. And I said, George, this is Phil Hendry. We spoke on the phone a couple of times. You're a very gracious guy. And, Marie and I would love to come see you tonight, but I don't know whether or not. I don't want any comp tickets. Please do not, comp me. I'll be willing to pay, but I'd just like to know, can we get in the show? And I said, and I left my cell phone number, and sure enough, 20 minutes later, I'm sitting there, I'm down on my last nickel on the video poker, I get the call, there's George Carlin. And I said, how are you, George? I'm fine, Phil. And he was in a hurry, so he says, I'm fine, buddy, I'll tell you what, right at there, we'll call, we're going to have some tickets waiting for you, and you just go up and tell him your name, and we'll call there. You know what I'm saying, Mike? So I'm like, God, this is great. I said, thank you, hey, no problem, okay? I said, thank you very much, George. So I said to Maria, hey, we scored, you know? I walk over to the Bally's that night. We go to the will call. Boom, we got a booth, Mike, dead center. And then he's up on stage, and he's doing a brilliant, brilliant show. You know, where You're All Diseased, which was his HBO special, and he's doing stuff from that. And then at the end of the show, he said, and I want the following people to come backstage. I want Mary Tsen and that crazy MF for Phil Hendry. You come back, too, because you're a crazy, you know, this. So he was very nice. We went backstage and we met him and said nice things to him, and he said the nice things back to us. He's just a very friendly, nice, down-to-earth guy. And the seat and the booth that we had was, oh, my God, it was fantastic. And the guy came around with a camera. Want your picture taken, sir? Why, sure. You know, I got about 85 pictures of me sitting there with Maria with a big, tall drink with an umbrella in it. And I look like I look drunk, even though I haven't had one drink. I haven't even taken a sip, but I'm like, hi. He's just a funny cat. And I forget that whole thing he did. There was a riff that he did there that was really good about the Colin Powell being black. Oh, forget it. If I'm going to try doing the guy's act, I'm going to stiff. So anyway, we're on our way to that show. So now you got the whole George Carlin story. I never told you that? Yeah. And I see this store, and Maria says, oh, let's go in here, the M&M store. I go, really? I didn't. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's you haven't heard? What do you mean I haven't heard? M&M's are where it's at. Everybody loves M&M's. What's wrong with you? Well, I like M&M's, man. I'm not going to go in. They have a store, and you go into the store. They've got stuffed little M&M dolls. They've got multicolored M&M's. They've got M&M cars. They have jock straps made out of M&M's. They've got the peanut. They got the plain. They got the crispy. And the biggest shock to me of all, the place is packed. And the line is going out the door, people buying M&M knapsacks and M&M shoes and M&M socks. And there's a guy there with an M&M head. A guy with an M&M head. And I just went over and I knocked the M&M right. Mark Austin Thomas collects M&M dispensers. Holy geez. Really?
He's got them in his office.
What is up with these people that collect crap? I mean, that's a nice thing, Mark. But, you know, I knew a woman, she collected Planters Peanuts junk. The Mr. Peanut thing, and little peanut, and a big peanut. He had peanuts all over the freaking place. Why is that? And then I knew somebody collected bears. Little plastic bears. And then I meet my wife. She collects dice. She's into dice. She collects, it's okay. I mean, it's not as freaky as peanuts, I'll give you that.
Better than turtles.
Oh, it's turtles? She's got, like, a little rubber dice. She's got, like, gold dice and, you know, different dice. It's kind of nice, but it's still goofy. I don't collect jack squat, man. I ain't got nothing. You know what I got? I collect dollar bills. I've got about 10 of them now. I'm up to 10. It's going to be great. I get it up to 20. I may cash them in for 120. I hear you can collect 20s. What do you collect, Mike? C-notes. Good idea. I'm going to try that. So we go to the M&M store. You got to go to this M&M store, Craig, if for no other reason than just look at the freaks that are running around in there. All kinds of people are digging on M&Ms, man. They got homeboys are in there. Gangbangers are in there. You know, button-down dudes. All these cafe creeps are in there. Guys that look like me. You know, you can't even realize, what am I? You know, all kinds of different people are in the M&M store. Buy it. And you know what we did? We spent probably, I don't know, $100 in there buying these stuffed little M&M things that Catherine can hang off of her bag for school. And then Maria got these Christmas-colored M&Ms, green and red, and had them in a jar. And I'm like, what are you buying that crap for? And, of course, we get them home, and that's all I do is sit there and watch TV and eat them. No wonder I got an allergy. I'm eating all the M&Ms from the M&M store. It's in Vegas. And then it's right next to that GameWorks. You know where that is? It's right next to the GameWorks in Vegas. Right next to the Coca-Cola place. And, oh, God, they got more stuff there that's it's like a veritable museum of kitsch. Phil Henry here, 1-800-449. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. Go to the Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com. Check it out. We're making improvements. We are under construction. We're under destruction. We're blowing it up. We're rolling a hand grenade into whatever the hell that lingo is. We're doing it to it. And you can check out the Best of Phil Henry Show 1999 CD by logging on and clicking on and sending us your credit card and the credit, you know, the number on the credit. Send us that and maybe you'll get a CD back. I'm not sure. I'm joking. Of course you will. And I think the turnaround's pretty fast, like in a couple of days or something, if you want the Best of the Phil Henry Show 99 CD. And check around and see what's available. We still got the 98s and the 97s? I don't know. We got some of those? So see if you're new to the show and maybe you'd like to get a hold of some of our older stuff, too. See what's on the website. I don't know. But I know that there were some 98s available, maybe some 99s. I mean, there are 99s, maybe some 97s, I should say. And if you'd like to get the full collector's edition thing, just go to philhenryshow.com and get over to that deal there where it says here's how you buy it. And it's $23.50, $3.50 shipping and handling, and $20 for the CD. All of it goes to, and I do mean all of it goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. Let's go to open phones here for a few minutes. 1-800-449-8686. And let's go to Los Angeles. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing?
Good.
Phil, I'm with an organization called Solutions America. I don't know if you've been following the Confederate flag.
Solutions America?
Yeah, it's
what is that?
Yeah, Phil, it is a organization of people who we sort of describe ourselves as a think tank, although I don't think we're quite that sophisticated, but we do brainstorm different issues and try to come up with some ideas as to how to solve the problem so that it doesn't create conflict, but it does create a cohesive, symbiotic, and working relationship. And I heard you discussing the Confederate flag the other day, and we've got a creative solution that involves both sides of the Confederate flag issue and would involve both sides, I think, getting what they want.
Now, you know that they want that Confederate flag. Which one? The one in South Carolina?
The debate right now is the Confederate flag in South Carolina. I think that people would be, and the people that I work with think that a lot of people would be amenable to the flag staying up on the State House in South Carolina if you're a little bit more creative with the way that it is perceived. And there's an old saying, you know, perception is reality. I think the perception of the Confederate flag needs to be changed, Phil. And we're looking ahead now to a big primary weekend in South Carolina where the all eyes of the country will be on a Republican presidential primary. We are in an election season, and the people of South Carolina and the businesses of South Carolina are suffering due to the boycott, NAACP-led boycott.
Would you mind me asking you what your solution is?
Well, for the Confederate flag, no, not at all. That's why I called your program.
Yeah, I had an idea that you were calling in to address that. So what, you have a solution. Go ahead.
The solution, Phil, again, has to do with perception. The Confederate flag is perceived by its supporters as being just that, a flag, a symbol of their culture, of their heritage.
Yeah, but that's bull crap because the flag...
Well, Phil, I think you have to be open-minded. I'm not saying they're right or they're wrong. I'm just expressing their side of the debate.
All right.
So the Confederate flag is perceived by its supporters as... I'm a solution man. I'm not into taking sides in the debate. And
you just try to come up with answers, huh? But you have opinions, right?
I have opinions. I try to keep them to myself. And
all right. Okay. So the business is about solution, and the private opinion thing is whenever you're in your private life.
Yeah. And really, Phil, I think that's the way to do business for us. But to answer your question, we call it a symbol. We don't call it a flag. The Confederate symbol is viewed by the people who support it as a flag. And it is considered to be, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but it is considered to be a symbol of a way of life that they wish to preserve and that they wish is carried forward. And that's why they use this symbol as a flag.
And all right, well, what about the flip side?
The opposite side of the argument, that the people who detract from the Confederate symbol are people who do not like that symbol. They don't consider it a flag that represents anything. They consider it to be an odious symbol, one that is representative of racism and slavery and a time gone by. And to them, they would just as soon stomp on that flag or set fire to it as raise it.
All right, and the solution being?
The solution, again, Phil, is in perception. We communicated to the South Carolina State House and to the governor of South Carolina and the lieutenant governor of South Carolina and to the majority leaders of both houses of the legislature, our concept that it become either a flag or a wipe, and I use the word W-I-P-E, a wipe. So you would communicate this to the people of South Carolina. If you love this flag, if you love this symbol, you can raise it and fly it. And if you do not, you can use it as a wipe. And we sent out the literature and a brochure to explain how one could operate both ways and still keep the flag flying over the south.
What do you mean a wipe?
By a wipe, I literally mean something you'd wipe up with. So it becomes the Confederate wipe. It's no longer the Confederate flag. For people that don't like it, for people that like it, it's the Confederate flag.
It's the Confederate flag for people that like it, and it's flying over the State House, right?
Yes, sir.
And for people that don't like it, it's the Confederate wipe.
It's a wipe. And
so let me be as crude and go wherever it is I think you're going here, so I can wipe my rear end with it.
Mr. Henry, you can do anything you want with it. I'm just saying that it becomes something that you either fly as a symbol of your heritage or something that you use, to wipe a baby's rear end with. You can wipe your armpits with it. You can blow your nose into it. You, whatever it is to you, it becomes. And I think that if you promulgated the theory of the Confederate wipe as well as the Confederate flag, then the people that didn't like it wouldn't mind it flying over the State House, because while it flew proudly over the State House, they'd be wiping their ass with it. And they would...
Okay, can you... I just ask you to watch your language, okay?
I'm very, very sorry. But they would be wiping themselves with it.
Okay, so while a guy's standing there seeing it flying, and...
But I think that people would accept that. So in other words, you wouldn't have the extreme debate and the extreme rancor over the symbol of the Confederacy, because...
What is your opinion of it?
Well,
Well, no, seriously, what is your name, by the way?
Phil, my name is Bob Green.
Okay, Bob, what is your opinion of the Confederate wipe or flag or whatever you want to call it?
Well, I'm not about creating discord. I'm about...
No, seriously, just tell me what you think of it when you see it.
Well, when I see it, I think, dumbass. I mean, that's...
You think dumbass when you see it?
Well, that's just me, though. All right, I'm not, and that doesn't enter into anything.
So, but even you don't like it, huh?
No, I didn't say I didn't like it. I just think it's kind of a loser. I mean, it represents losers is what it represents. So, I mean, that's just me, but I don't want to get into that. What I want to get into is the concept of the Confederate wipe. And
all right, well, you may have a point. I don't know that, first of all, it's going to only create more anger, in my opinion. I don't know, but if a guy sees a flag flying and meanwhile he's wiping his armpit with it...
Yeah, imagine a guy looking at it flying over the State House while he's blowing his nose into it. Now you've got a solution, and now you have a good way for people to use it any way they want to. It takes the sting out of seeing this racist symbol flying when you could wipe the crack of your rear end with it. You see what I'm saying?
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. It's 1-800-449-8686. What do you think of that idea, Mike? So what you do is, we're coming up on a South Carolina primary on Saturday. There is a this Confederate flag debate is about as boring and completely unending and completely insoluble as any. But this guy that I got here on line four, he says that what you do is you make it either a flag or a wipe, so you can fly it or you can wipe with it. Now, I want to ask the guy a question here. Is he still there? Hi, it's Bob, right?
Yeah, Phil.
How does this, if you allow people to use the Confederate flag to wipe their rear end with, as you said, or they can fly it from their truck or whatever, the guy who's flying it from his truck ain't going to want to see anybody wiping his rear end with it.
Well, the guy who wipes his rear end with it isn't going to want to see anybody flying it, but the fact is you're going to have to agree to disagree, because you're both being allowed to do with it what you want to do. That guy can fly it from the Capitol building. Somebody else can use it to mop up the oil in their garage or clean up around the house, use it as a counter wipe.
So people are going to run around getting little Confederate flags to dry off their dishes with?
Yeah, I'm saying if you encourage its use in both directions, you have a much better chance of diffusing the debate than if you let only one side or the other win.
Let me see if anybody else. Schenectady, hello?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am, you're on the air.
It doesn't matter what you use this flag for. If you call it a wipe or if you call it a flag, it's still going to represent racism, and people are still going to know that.
Well, if it represents racism, ma'am, though, you have a chance to wipe your armpits with it, and that tells everybody what you think of racism. If it represents racism, then the guy that flies it, it tells everybody what he thinks. And so what I'm proposing is it gives people an opportunity to tell the world what they think about its symbolism, as opposed to just flying it and not being able to say anything about it.
Yeah.
Now, do you understand what I'm saying? How old are you?
17.
See, you're a little young.
Well, she can still understand it.
Yeah, but...
Okay.
You in high school?
Yes, I am.
Where's Schenectady? Is that in the north or the south?
It's in New York.
That's in New York State.
Oh, all right. Well, then what do you care?
I care a lot.
Well, you're not flying it up there, are you?
No, I'm not.
All right.
But people still see it. People up here are affected by it, too. People need to get their opinion
Great.
Out other
then
ways.
What do you think of it?
I think that it shouldn't be flown.
All right. Because it's a racist symbol, right?
Yes, it is.
You think racism is horrible, right?
Yes, I do.
It's a terrible thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you'd like to show people what you think of racism, wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't want to show them. I'd like to tell them.
Well, why not show them, too? Well, you would be telling them. What difference does it make? Why not fold it up? And you and I say this with great respect, ma'am, and I don't mean any disrespect, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you're a young woman. You're 17. Every month, there's a little bit of a problem, right?
Yeah.
Wait a second.
Wait. Why not fold it up and just, you know, put it in your underwear?
Okay.
No, I'm just saying that...
No, you don't have to go down that road, all right?
Well, but you know what I'm saying, right, ma'am?
You don't have to go down that road, okay?
That's disrespecting other people's opinion. You don't
no,
do that.
No, it's not. He gets to fly it. He can fly that flag, and so he gets to show everybody that he thinks it's great.
But that's also
meanwhile, you got it stuffed right up the crack of your rear end. What?
You should talk to other people about it. You should have a debate. Go on.
A dialogue and a debate and convincing people as opposed to offending them, I think, is what this lady is saying.
You don't have
to offend different people
and different races by doing that. You can talk to people. You can have a debate. You can get your opinion out, write an article.
Write an article? Do you know how many articles have been written about... Ah, that's baloney.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you for your call. Why won't you address that?
Do you know how many articles have been written about this crap? Do you know how many debates there have been about this stuff? Do you know how many times people have tried to convince themselves and other people that one side or the other is right or wrong or indifferent? It's never going to happen, okay? The best thing to do if you don't like that flag is consider it a wipe, roll it up, blow your nose into it. If you're bleeding, if you have a flesh wound or something, you can stuff it in the open gaping wound, bleed into it if you want, once a month. Whatever you want to do. If you love it, you can fly it, you can wear it on a belt buckle, you can fly it high from your house. This is all I'm saying, Phil. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the way to go.
All right, well, Solutions America is the name of your company, right?
Yes, sir.
Do you have a number?
Yes, we do, Phil. It's 1-213-251-3189. That's 213-251-3189. And that's Solutions America.
Okay. Good for you, pal. Good luck. I doubt very seriously if anybody's going to... What if they make it against the law to desecrate the Confederate flag?
Well, they can make anything against the law. But I'm saying this is the best opportunity.
Okay, Bob, thanks a lot. Phil Henry Show. There's a guy who thinks that the Confederate wipe is the way to go. So in other words, what you do is you take it, wipe your armpit with it, and in case you're really angry and pissed off about the world, then you can show everybody. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show here. The Confederate wipe. Maybe that's something we ought to put up on the website. But that's a debate, man, that's been going on for so freaking long, it's nauseating, you know? I say let those people beat their brains out over that crap. So, as I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted, that M&M store in Vegas, that's nuts. By the way, I found out the name of the... I'm not going to sit here and debate the Confederate flag. You can blow these people off the line, okay? If they wanted to talk to Bob Green, they should have got in sooner. We're not interested in talking about it anymore. I'm not going to debate the Confederate flag with a bunch of dumbasses, huh? Oh, okay. You want to talk to them? So anyways, I was saying the M&M store's there, but the Mandalay Bay... No, the point is, I don't want to talk to any of these guys about the stinking flag, okay? It's like... Anyway, the Mandalay Bay is where that wave machine is that I was talking about. And what? I don't want to talk to any of these asses about... Okay. Yeah, hi.
Yes, Phil, how you doing?
What?
Well, I wanted to tell you that I thought that guy is way off base.
And
whatever, man. Fly it from your freaking truck, okay? I don't care.
Listen, you're hostile to the whole idea of that.
Why is it every one of you guys that loves that stinking flag, you sound like you just... You weren't so much born as you crawled up into a sack?
What?
Get out of here, okay?
No, I just was...
Okay, so the Mandalay Bay is this restaurant, or no, it's a hotel in Vegas where they have the wave machine. It's the big new Four Seasons. It's very nice, from what I understand. I wanted to go there, I really did, but I don't get to take vacations around my house. The whole family next month is they're going off to, you know, they're going to go to Disney, and they're going to go to the Caribbean, and they're going to go in the Bahamas, then they're going to go and do the big thing at the hotel. Me, I'm going to be, it's me and the cat for a solid week. Then how about when Maria, she gets back with the kids, they'll go to Vegas, they'll do the Mandalay Bay run. That'll be fun, too. Me, I just sit at home with a cat. Good. Okay, we got a Vegas call. Great. 1-800-449-8686. Where do you like to stay in Vegas, sir?
Yeah, the Confederate flag, in my opinion.
Blow these jive asses off, will you? The Rio... I was there on the Rio once, and do I dare say I wouldn't go back? I shouldn't? Okay. I won't say that then. Spend all my time with you and Mike? Oh, great. Thanks a lot. Suddenly hot in here. I'm getting to wave the flag thing from my producer. You know, I'm so sorry I took that call. I don't believe in flags. I don't fly any flags. I fly the California state flag. How about that? It's the one with the bear and the... it looks like an Aztec guy or something. I don't know what it looks like. That's what I fly. The bear, and isn't there some Indian or something in the foreground? A bear and an Indian, the California state flag. I don't fly the American flag from the front of my house. I fly the California state flag. There ain't no stars and bars on that sucker. Just a bear walking through the woods. What could be less offensive? There's no incorporating it in or any of that crap. It's just a bear walking, and there's some bear crap, too. Walking through the woods. That's my flag. The California state flag in all of its big, fat bear crap glory. And I like that Brazilian flag, too. I never figured it out, but I like that Brazilian flag. Flags that I like, the Brazilian flag, it's the planet Earth. Do you ever seen a Brazilian flag? It's like a planet with some weird-ass thing on it. And the other flag that I fly is that Homeowners Association flag where I live. By the way, if I see one more Spring Is Here flag flying from somebody's house, or those, you know, those cartoon character flags, or how about the St. Patrick's Day flag when you see the big shamrock hanging out in front, or somebody's got a martini flag... Boy, these flags! When did that start happening? Was that a California thing? Because I didn't see it in Miami at all. It's going on all over the country now. Everybody has a flag. With the beginning of spring, there's a Tweety Bird flag, and then we get into summer, and it's a full-on big sunshine flag, and then they're flying some flag from the yuppie thing. Yeah, they got the yup flag, which is a cob being inserted into someone's... It's time for the yuppie flag. Time to raise the yuppie flag. Somebody bent over, two cheeks of someone's rear end, and a cob being slid palm first. Just... And the shamrock flag, I really get off on that. Everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day. I mean, I've heard that, of course. We've all heard that. But, boy, never has it been so true as since they started making these shamrock flags. Every house up and down the street, some guy walking out, are you Irish? Damn right. And like that, flowers and everything. Big sunflower. I like those flags. And then the only other flag that I would say that I kind of dig on is the those Arabian flags with the swords, man. Those things are awesome. Other than that, all the flags suck. And the good old, Old Glory, man. The red, white, and blue of Old Glory, of course. But you got to say, the Japanese, even though they attacked us at Pearl Harbor, we dropped a couple of A-bombs, and they were our mortal enemy. You got to say, their flag's bitching. That big sun. That rising sun was cool. After the war, though, they got rid of the whole sun ray thing, and just it's like a ball. It's not as good, but still cool. Okay, Phil Henry here. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. You know, these guys that are hacking websites, they contacted some guy named Coolio, and he is a member of a group called Global Hell. You know who these guys are? Group of teenagers who have hacked into the White House and Department of Defense computer systems. Never before in the history of the world has there been so many very sensitive areas of government that are so easy to access, you know? You'd think we'd gotten better, but no, we've gotten... It's not that we've gotten worse, it's that all of a sudden anybody... See, like... Even the Romans, man, I mean, even as primitive, going back millions and billions and trillions of years. How long was Rome? Was that about a million years ago? And those cats, I mean, they were walking around in shields and they had loincloths on and they're throwing up someplace. They're eating and puking in the vomitorium. But even you couldn't get in. You couldn't. There's no way you could access that whole patrician hierarchy. And then, you know, as society progresses and new civilizations emerge and fall and new societies emerge and fall and new kinds of governments and new kinds of countries and new coalitions. And finally, we come to the point, United States of America, supposedly the very highest form of governmental life in the history of man on this planet, the most sophisticated and perhaps the best armed. So we got all through that crap, and here we are, like, the year 2000, and some kid with his baseball cap turned around back, just a little bit of snot coming down the left nostril, busted into his mom's cool cigarettes. He's hacking into the Department of Defense website. You heard the government's trying to find people smarter than the hackers, but they can't afford them? They're into the Department of Defense computer systems, right? Which, okay, like, remember War Games with Matthew Broderick when that whole thing, you know, people said, oh, Jesus, it could never happen. And it probably can. I mean, I'm talking about starting a freaking war, but, I mean, just putting up, like, you know, Eisenhower sucks or something on the Defense Department computer system is bad. That's hell enough, okay? Global hell. These guys are getting into White House and the Defense Department computer system. They said members of Global Hell are still under investigation in connection with last week's web attacks. They also want to question a Canadian known online as Mafia Boy and a hacker known as Nacho Man. How come these people, we don't know their names? Don't they know their names? Officials have been careful to say that they are not suspects. Hey, Nacho Man, your ass is in a sling, man. You too, Mafia Boy. They just want to talk to them about important information relating to the attacks. Right. The investigation's progressing very nicely, said Ron Dick, chief of the computer investigations at the FBI's National Infrastructure Protection Center. Boy, it sounds good, Jim, but they got into the Department of Defense and the White House. Not that there's anything there to learn. The National Infrastructure Protection Center, and Ron Dick is in charge of it. Well, no wonder. Mafia Boy and Nacho Man, man, they beat Ron Dick every step of the way, don't you think? Toronto-based internet service provider Internet Direct said the RCMP. Well, that's the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Bunch of clowns on horseback. Isn't that the guys that did the Lumberjack song? What are they going to do? They warned that if a subscriber called Mafia Boy, they warned that a subscriber called Mafia Boy previously held two accounts with Delphi Supernet, a Montreal ISP the company bought last year. The accounts were closed in 98 because Mafia Boy, and then I ran out of copy. Damn. Look at that, I ran out of stuff. I want to find out what Mafia Boy did, and I don't know. The accounts were closed late last year because Mafia Boy dropped his pants and, geez, I don't have the rest of it. Late last year, Mafia Boy unzipped, and then Nancy Reagan... Well, that's it. That's the only page it printed.
I'm not a whore.
We get a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Phil Henry. Phil Henry.
That's too much.